Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear friends, Salamun Alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic to talk about is hardened hearts. Let's see what date is today. Today, Sunday, is the 16th of Zilqa'da, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Tiv, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Zumar, verse 22nd.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Afaman sharaha Allahu sadrahu lil Islam fa huwa ala nurin min rabbih. Fawailun lil qasiyati qulubuhum min أولئك في ضلال مبين.
So is one whose breast Allah has expanded to accept Islam, and he is upon a light from his Lord, like one whose heart rejects it? Then woe to those whose hearts are hardened against the remembrance of Allah. Those are in manifest error.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
According to a report narrated by Ibn Mas'ud, the noble prophet of Islam was asked concerning the interpretation of the verse: in what manner man may attain to extension of mind? The noble prophet replied, when light penetrates into human heart, it broadens in extent and returns. He was again inquired regarding the tokens, therefore, to which he replied, the tokens include attentiveness toward the everlasting abode, separation from the abode of vanity, and preparation for welcoming death prior to its occurrence.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Hardened hearts. The heart is the place by which the correctness of deeds is judged. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family said, deeds are judged according to the intention. The place of the intention is not on the lips, it is in the heart. Our deeds, what we do externally, are judged ultimately by the states of our hearts. There are good deeds are evil. But these good deeds are in reference to those that we perceive to be a part and parcel of righteousness. Allah will inspect the hearts to determine whether they are truly acts of righteousness. So there is no other factually in the human body and existence that a believer should more concern about. We have to make sure that this faculty is functioning as Allah wishes it to function. We should be greatly concerned about it. The Prophet used to make dua often, beginning, I seek refuge in you, O Allah, from knowledge that does not benefit, and from a heart which does not fear.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about ruthlessness or being hard-hearted. Among outstanding Muslim dignitaries and scholars of the late martyr Murtaza Mutahhari, believes that there's no punishment more severe than being ruthless. And this ruthlessness isn't only, an abominable moral trait for other people of the community who may experience it, from other people or from certain people. Rather, those people who become ruthless and very hard-hearted, they themselves experience many more problems, psychologically speaking, because someone who is ruthless and doesn't help anybody else or does cruel things to other people, those people themselves little by little reach a very abominable state in their own personality. There's a book, Al-Muhajjat al-Bayda, which is a book of moral teachings written by the late Mullah Mohsin Feyz Kashani. Mullah Mohsin Feyz Kashani, as his name suggests, was originally from the city of Kashan, and he was a top-ranking Shia scholar, mainly in the field of Quranic studies, Quranic exegesis, and moral teachings. And his moral teachings were based on the religious instructions and injunctions as indicated in the Holy Quran and in the hadiths of the infallibles. In his book Al-Muhajjat al-Bayda, in his moral magnum opus Al-Muhajjat al-Bayda, he indicated that ruthlessness is one of the severe punishments that some people receive because of being ruthless to other people.
The signs of a heartened heart. One of the signs of a heartened heart is that it will commit evil doings and oppressions continuously. For oppression originates from the darkness in one's heart. As said, oppression comes from the darkness within a heart, because suppose that it takes the light of guidance, it surely would oversee the effect beforehand. Likewise, evil doing will lead to a new evil doing as a result of the past evils. Thus, it becomes a vicious cycle that will be hard to end and let go. These are some signs of a hardened heart due to committing sin and evil doing, so that we are all able to introspect ourselves and head into changes into a perfect dream human being. A heart's drought, a chest tightness, a shock and never-ending restlessness, and chaotic heart are all within a hardened heart. It will continue to suffer from a dry heart until it will become listless over everything.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful
this is today's special with you and ways to soften a hard heart. Dua and dhikr, yes, one of the ways. The most important part of the process of softening of the heart is direct communication with Allah. It may be through dua or dhikr, or in salah, prayer. You have to feel that direct connection. Feel it physically in your heart. It may not come immediately. If there has been a long gap since you last called your Lord, then it might take some time to re-establish that connection. So keep trying and it will come, inshallah.
Says, for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to what? Refers to individuals whose heart have what? Have been sealed. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places the seal on their hearts. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals their hearts. Likewise, Allah says in the Quran, بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places something, a cover, darkness over their hearts. Likewise, the Quran, we are told what? There is this element of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala making the heart somehow become less receptive. This is an indication that has been mentioned in the famous Munajat al-Ta'ibin by a holy fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin al-Sajjad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. وَأَمَاتَ قَلْبِي عَظِيمُ جِنَايَتِي. This is where in Munajat al-Ta'ibin, one of the 15 whispered supplications which are sublime, no doubt about that. The Imam says, oh Allah, my heart, is speaking about the hearts of humanity, not his heart, but the hearts of people are what? Are becoming dead due to their sinning, due to the disobedience of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala.
As you listen to, we talked about hardened hearts on today's special. Inshallah, we decide to continue to talk about this topic, so please be with us on the next episode of today's special. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends. For your information, when a person asks Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Reza, peace be upon him, as to who are the best servants of God, the Holy Prophet's eighth infallible heir replied, those persons who, when they perform a good deed, become glad. When they commit a bad deed, they ask the forgiveness of Allah. When they are granted, they they thank for it. When they are afflicted and grieved, they exercise patience. And when they get angry, they forgive the faults of others.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We've spoken about love, and we've spoken about, you know, this negative type of love, this positive type of love. Obviously, this requires a great deal more explanation than this current platform allows us to do. But inshallah, our dear listeners have gotten the picture. And therefore, we see that why is it that you cannot combine the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a heart that has, for example, love of this world? Or why is it that you cannot have love of other than the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam in your heart while having the love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam in your heart? There must be a reason for this. And one of the possible reasons for this is in this tradition that has been mentioned by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in which he says that, you know, in general terms, that when you love something or someone, you aim to constantly be with that particular thing. You either mention it all the time, you think about it all the time. You know, in Persian, there's this, you know, fable or the story of Layli and Majnun, for example. It is also a story that has, you know, offshoots in other nations and in other languages as well. Or in English, you have the concept of Romeo and Juliet. So a person who is in love always wants to have that particular beloved with him and always just thinks about that particular beloved. So this is why it is impossible for a person to constantly think about the dunya or the world and then constantly think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time. We do not have the ability to do that. Our souls do not allow for this to happen. So in this tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has mentioned that man, or humankind, mankind, man is not just, you know, man as in the male article, no. Humankind is with that, or with him, the tradition says him, but with anything it could be. It doesn't have to be a person, it could be a thing, it could be an idea, could be something that is imaginary, whatever that thing may be. So man is with him whom he loves. This is where you see yourself. You place yourself in that position, always with that particular thing that you love. Why? Because you love it. It is your beloved. And it is something that you strive, you know, every single moment in order to acquire. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we may always be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, so that we may always be with them, inshaAllah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu Alaikum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Mahdi, and as-salamu alaykum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part, we are going to listen to the recitation of Suratul Waqi'ah, verses 10 to 26, recited by Brother Karim Mansouri, the outstanding Iranian reciter. Dear audience, let's listen to it, preceded by its English translation.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful, and those foremost will be foremost. These will be those nearest to Allah. In the gardens of delight, a multitude of those will be from the first generations, and a few of those will be from the later times. On thrones woven with gold and precious stones, reclining thereon face to face, they will be served by immortal boys, with cups and jugs and a glass from the flowing wine, wherefrom they will get neither any aching of the head nor any intoxication, and fruit that they may choose, and the flesh of fowls that they desire, and fair maidens with wide, lovely eyes, like unto preserved pearls, a reward for what they used to do. No evil vain talk will they hear therein, nor any sinful speech, but only the saying of greetings with peace.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون
Welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 10 to 26 of Suratul Waqi'ah, recited by Brother Karim Mansouri, the outstanding Iranian reciter. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We had verses 10 to 26 of Suratul Waqi'ah, okay, by Sheikh. My brother Karim Mansouri, and there are many letters of isti'la, especially qaf, in these verses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that we learn to pronounce qaf correctly, not just because it's a letter of isti'la, but also its place of articulation and the other characteristics that it has. Qaf has to be pronounced thickly. It should be voiced.
Mm-hmm.
It has jahr.
Could you talk about the exact place of articulation of this letter? Because it does not exist in English, as you know.
Yes. The place of articulation of qaf is the very back of the tongue and the uvula. Some say it's the root of the tongue. I'm not sure if it's the root or the very back, but it's the deepest part of the tongue and the uvula, which is above it.
And it's a stop. It is not
a stop. It has shedda. It has the characteristic of shedda, which means you have to pronounce it, yeah, with sudden force. Wassabiquna sabiqun. So as you can see, the qaf is pronounced deeply in the throat. أولئك المقربون مقربون. The qaf has tafkhim at the second highest level here
because it has a fatha.
Yes. أولئك المقربون مقربون. We don't say مقربون مقربون.
Like
it's
when
too
it
much
has alif wal ma.
No, that's even more than the alif. If you had alif wal ma, it would be أولئك المقربون مقربون. في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين. Now we have two letters of istila in this verse. وقليل ق قليل من ال من الآخرين. The خاء آخرين. We don't say آخرين خيرين.
Mm-hmm.
We don't apply too much تفخيم. آخرين just with a kasr على سرور موضونة the ضاد has تفخيم at the moderate level because it has واو المد والضم متكئين عليها متقابلين متقابلين we have the highest level of تفخيم for the قاف again make sure that you don't exaggerate the تفخيم by saying متقابلين متقابلين is incorrect متقابلين just open the mouth vertically
we do not have to round the lips
yes not too much it is slightly rounded but not so much that it sounds it gets close to واو المد okay يطوفوا يطوفوا we have طاء ولدان مخلدون not مخلدون مخلد just like قاف the level of تفخيم is exactly like قاف with فتحة because قاف and خا have استعلاء but they don't have اطباق okay and that makes the level of تفخيم the same
yes
okay whether it has a فتحة ألف والمد كسرة ضمة And so for the next verse, there's one important point you have to take care and pay attention to is the kaf that has a sukun, the kaf sakina. Bi-akwabin, bi-akwabin. The kaf, we should hear the sound of kaf. If we say bi-akwabin, bi-akwabin, and we don't hear the kaf,
the clicking sound should be heard.
In English, sometimes this doesn't happen. We don't hear the sounds of P, for example, whenever it's unvoweled. We say, for example, upside down. Upside go up. Down. Go up. We don't say go up. Go up. But in Arabic, we have to make sure that this every letter, the sound of it is heard clearly. Unless it's silent. Unless idgham takes place. Okay.
And it should be pronounced without qalqala, the kaf I mean.
Yes, that's right. So if you say bi-akawab, that's incorrect.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
We've been discussing some hadith about the significance of the Quran. The hadiths we have been discussing are selected from Al-Kafi, the section called Kitabu Fadlil Quran, about the merits of the Quran. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, whoever recites the Quran while he or she is a young believer, Allah will make him able to be with the angels who are very close to him, who are honored. وَكَانَ الْقُرْآنُ حَجِيزًا عَنْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ On the day of judgment, Quran will be hajiz. Hajiz means a barrier, a protector. Okay? So, on the day of judgment, Quran will defend and protect this person. Would not let fire touch him. I ask you a question. If in every cell of your body, in every drop of your blood, there is Quran, can fire burn you? No way. Actually, people would come to you and ask for your help because they know that at least you are giving them safety. So it's not by chance or accident that, you know, people do shafa.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab, Call of Islam, on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء.
Dear listeners, as you may have been previously with us, you already know that we were discussing this part. وَبِعَظَمَتِكَ الَّتِي مَلَأَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. I ask you, by your greatness, which has filled all things. Regarding this phrase of dua, we said that to some extent the position and rank of an actor can be realized through his act. The Almighty Allah's greatness is in his eternity and infinity, but his greatness is not easily conceived and achieved by us. But we have different ways of understanding his greatness. We can ponder on the world, the creatures, and the creation, because his greatness is contained in everything. Now, we will mention two traditions and a scientific fact. One of the great scholars in his book named Islam Wahiyat, or translated into Islam and Astronomy, has narrated from Khisal of Saduq, Bihar al-Anwar of Allama Majlisi, and also Tafsir Nur al-Thaqlain, a tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, with a strong citation. Inna lillahi azza wa jal ithna ashara alfi alam. The Almighty has created 12,000 worlds. كل عالم منهم أكبر من سبع سماوات وسبع أراضين. Each of these worlds is larger than all the heavens and the earth. ما يرى عالم منهم أن لله عز وجل عالما غيرهم. None of them is cognizant of the worlds outside its world. The contemporary astrologers believe that the living world is composed of thousands of worlds, each of which contains heavens and the earth larger than our worlds. By referring to numbers, the Holy Quran and the traditions do not intend to show the exact record of the extent of beings. But this is, I assume, rather to illustrate their enormity. We should not consider the number of the worlds as 12,000 only. So it seems that probably the number of the worlds is far beyond what is mentioned in the Holy Quran traditions and even the astrological books.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his progeny Oh Allah, I beseech you by your mercy which encompasses everything and by your power by which you overcome everything and which submits to it everything and humble before it is everything and by your might by which you conquer everything and by your majesty against which nothing can stand And by your greatness which prevails over everything And by your authority which is exercised over everything And by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished And by your names which manifest your power over everything. And by your knowledge which pervades everything. And by the light of your face which illuminates everything. Oh, he who is light, oh, he most holy, oh, he who is light, oh, he most holy.
In Sharh Sahifat al-Sajadiyya, Sayyid Ni'matullah Jazairi has narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the infallible Imams alayhim as-salam. That Allah has created 100,000 lanterns, hanging them from the sky, and Allah has placed all the heavens and the earth and the things inside them in one of these lanterns, and only He knows what is inside the other lanterns. Allama Shahristani, in the exigency of this fascinating tradition, says that there are some similarities between lanterns and the solar system. First, a lantern is oval in shape, and according to contemporary scientists, the solar system has an oval shape too. Second, lantern contains an object at its center that spreads light and heat, and scientists believe that the solar system too has the sun at its heart, which scatters out light and heat to the surrounding planets. Thirdly, lantern is floating in the air, not fixed to a wall or an object, just like our solar system, which is, as the scientists suggest, which is floating in space. The illuminating object of the lantern is not exactly at its center, and it leans closer to one side. The sun, too, is not at the exact center of the solar system, as the scientists believe. So, considering these resemblances, the correspondence of this tradition to the modern astrological basics, and of course this disagreement that exists with the old philosophy, has become clear and proven. So, this tradition explicitly proves the existence of thousands of worlds and solar systems that contain separate planets, separate moons and suns and earths and heavens and hells. And of course, the very fact that each of the worlds inside the lantern is as large as a solar system and as vast as the heavens and the earth. And this is yet only one aspect of the phrase وَبِعَظَمَتِكَ الَّتِي مَلَأَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, by your greatness which has filled all things. And this is one aspect of it. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining me again on today's episode of The Lantern. Today's discussion is regarding the importance of keeping promises. And this is one of the topics that the ahadith from the Ahlul Bayt and the teachings of the Quran give a lot of importance to, and it's one of the wajibat, the obligatory acts that every Muslim should abide by. A Muslim is known as a hadith, I think from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, relates that they're known by their trustworthiness and how good they are at keeping their promise and whether they are a person of their words. And that's really, really important, because it is only through such details that one can measure a Muslim's reliability, trustworthiness, and how much they honor the covenant they have between themselves and their Lord. As Allah says in the Quran, be loyal to your promises and the contracts that you make, and the words, and when you give your word to someone regarding a matter, uphold it, be loyal to it, act upon it. We're going to listen to a short story regarding this matter. Just brace yourself. It's like a sap story. A little romantic, probably, bridged from an Indian movie. But nonetheless, it has a moral. So let's hear it, and we'll be right back.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, salam and so welcome to your program, Lantern. We have another special story for today. Let's listen to it. The title of today's story is Fulfilling a Promise. Ever since the beginning, the girl's family members disagree her relationship with the boy because of the family background. Later, the boy graduated from university. He planned to further study overseas, but before he left, he proposed to the girl. I don't know how to say nice words, but I do know that I love you. If you agree, I'm willing to take care of you the whole life. About your family members, I will work hard to convince them and agree on us. Marry me, will you? The girl agreed, and her parents, looking at the effort shown by the boy, agreed with them. Finally, before the boy goes overseas, they were engaged. The girl stayed back in the hometown, stepped into the working society, whereas the boy continued his study overseas. They maintained their relationship through telephone and letters, although time is difficult to get through with, but both of them never give up. One day, the girl left home for work as usual on her way to the bus stop. A car lost control and knocked her down. As she awoke from unconsciousness, she saw her parents and realized how seriously she got hurt. Looking at her parents with their face got all wet by their tears, she tried to comfort them. But then she found out that she can't even spell out a word. According to the doctor, the injury affected her brain and that caused her to be mute for the rest of her life. Later, the girl discharged from hospital, returning to her home. Everything was still like before, except that the phone ring has turned into the worst nightmare of hers. Ring after ring, continuously stimulating her pain, but she couldn't tell the boy. She didn't want to be a burden to him and wrote him a letter telling him she no longer wanted to wait.